Nothing bad, obviously, so don't worry. So, please, could we have our reading?
So, the reading is from Matthew 14, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Herod, the patriarch, heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It's not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people, because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here, on a dish, the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a dish and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. That's it. Thank you. May God bless his holy word.
Before I start, I just want to ask one thing. When you're praying for me about the cancer, please remember to pray for Michael, because he's suffering as much as I am. So, yeah. Thank you. This week we're talking about John the Baptist. Not an easy subject to have picked up on. So we won't be doing a diary of it, because it wouldn't end very well, would it? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to, go back to the beginning and tell you, in John verses 6 to 8, John says this about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light was to follow afterwards. John was born somewhere near Judah, which is near Jerusalem. He was a miraculous son of Zechariah, an old priest, and his wife Elizabeth, who was well past childbearing age, and therefore unable to have children. The birth of John was foretold by the angel Gabriel to Zechariah while he was performing his functions as a priest in the temple of Jerusalem. Gabriel is the same angel who visited Mary and told her that she was to bear a child as well. As we all know, it's Jesus. That's a nice job, so I just go and tell people you're going to have a child, isn't it? Very rewarding. Elizabeth was a relative of Mary, and she was the one whom Mary visited when she was expecting Jesus. In Luke 1, chapter 1, verses 41, it says that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wonderful experience. John was a Jewish prophet on the Jordan River region. He was a holy man who lived in the desert and wore clothes made of camel hair and a leather belt round his waist. John's coming was foretold in Isaiah 40, verse 3. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Come straight in the desert, a highway to our God." John's life in the wilderness on nothing but locust and honey. He became very famous throughout the region for declaring that Jesus was coming and that all should repent of their sins and be baptized. This made him very disliked by many people, but liked by a lot of others. His message was to all ranks and stations of the Jewish society. John was a remarkable figure in calling people to repent and be baptized. This was ahead of the coming of Jesus. In several readings, we read this in the New Testament, in Matthew 3, 1-12, Mark 1, 2-8, Luke 3, 1-18, John 1, 19-28. If you want any of those references, then please see me afterwards, but it's too much to read it all there. Or better still, just read the whole Bible and you'll come across it eventually. On the New Testament. Are we brave enough to carry on telling people about the wonders of Jesus, even when the things are not going right, and we are being persecuted for our beliefs? Even when things are going wrong, it can be very hard to follow Jesus and to keep your faith in telling others. John also baptised Jesus at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, which was immediately after which, he was imprisoned by John the Baptist for denouncing his marriage to Herodias, who was his brother's wife, which was illegal under the Jewish law. The herald who imprisoned John weren't the same one who killed all the young children when Jesus was born. This herald was his son, so it obviously runs in family. Herald of Tapis. He had been anointed by Caesar Augustus as governor in Philistine. For almost 30 years he had ruled over two regions, Perea and Galilee. The first is the place John the Baptist conducted his ministry, and the second is where Jesus' ministry took place. Now Herod had arrested John, banned him, and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. But John had been saying to him, "It's not lawful for you to have her. This is a scandal in the palace." Herodias had been the wife of Herod, Philip's, a half-brother of Herod Augustus. Antipas, thank you. Hang on, Roger.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, he's Herod's brother, Philip. Yeah, half-brother, who probably ruled over the neighbouring region. Incidentally, she was also Antipas's niece, being the daughter of another half-brother. Herod Antipas apparently had an affair with her, divorced his first wife, and then married Herodias. I think I said that one wrong. First of all, can I just say I apologise for any mispronunciations, which I will do, and I have done. So I apologise now, and I'll just carry on and hope you don't even notice the rest of them. He sinned against his brother, against his wife, and most importantly, against God. And this was too much for John. He was a righteous man and a godly prophet. John the Baptist had been telling the world that this wasn't right. It wasn't right for two reasons. First, he shouldn't have divorced his own wife and taken another. Second, his wife was previously married to his own brother, and the Old Testament law put that off limits. But things often are off limits are often more appealing. There's always that little thing thinking, it's a little bit naughty. He won't know if I do that, but it does. To criticise the marriage of a powerful ruler like that was never going to end well. Herod had John arrested and put in prison. He wanted to go the whole way and kill him, but he was too scared to do it. He was scared of the people because they loved him. They thought he was a prophet, come to announce that God had come to rescue his people. If Herod killed John, he'd have a riot on his hands. So he just kept him in prison. There's many cases of this in the Bible where people have been too scared, leaders have been too scared to make a sensible decision because of what people might think of them. Then one day, it was Herod's birthday. There was a lavish party, and doubtless everyone got very drunk. The centrepiece was a dance by the daughter Herodias. Everyone loved it, and Herod wanted to reward her. So he promised her whatever she wanted, up to half his kingdom. I don't really know what he was thinking. This was a kind of reward promised by the great Persian rulers who run past empires. Herod ran little more than his own bath, if he even did that. even refused him the title of the king. But I think at this party he had a bit too much to drink and felt far more important than he really was. Unfortunately for Harold, the girl and her mum was ready for this revolt, and it's quite possible that this was the outcome they've been trying to engineer all the way through. Out come the request, at like the head of John the Baptist. All the cheering and the clapping and the dancing must have stopped suddenly. I'm sure you could have heard a pin drop. Harold wanted John dead, but had been too weak to give the order. Now he asked for just that, he was too weak to say no. Once again, he's fighting for his reputation. He doesn't want to be called a coward. So being so afraid to say no, he sent an executor, and who returns with John's head on a plate. This is one of those dramas where when things start to go wrong and every time there's a choice to be made, you make your own choice. Things go from bad to worse and it ends up with John dead. But John's disciples were very loyal to him. They asked for John's body and in doing so put themselves at great risk, but they wanted John to have a proper burial. Now this story tells us how much John was hated for what he believed and his condemnation of doing wrongdoing. Jesus was hated in much the same way, again for the truth he spoke. Some people hated him enough to kill them for their own personal gain and to silence them, to silence Jesus, the one true king. John and Jesus have plenty in common. Jesus started his public ministry when John was arrested. He picked up where John left off. At the end of Matthew 13, which we heard last week, we saw Jesus being rejected in Galilee. Soon he was to head towards Judah, towards Jerusalem, so the flow of Matthew runs like this: rejected in Galilee, John the Baptist killed. Jesus says Jerusalem, and it all gives you a sinking feeling as to where Matthew's gospel is heading, to where Jesus is heading. It's not going to end well for Jesus either. Jesus is a threat. Because of this, one herald kills loads of babies. Another herald kills John the Baptist. And in time, Jesus himself was killed. Little did they know, but that was the true purpose. In the end, Jesus died on the cross. This chain doesn't end with Jesus. Things can go badly for those followers too. There are some verses in Matthew chapter 10. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in synagogues. Brothers will betray brothers to death, and the father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. The student is not above the teacher, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house had been called by Isabel, how much more the members of his household? Do you suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. There is a cost to following Jesus. We probably won't be put to death for our beliefs, but we shouldn't be afraid of speaking out for him, to spread the good news of God's love and sacrifice. The sacrifice God made by sending Jesus to earth and the sacrifice Jesus made for dying on the cross for forgiveness of our sins and to give us eternal life. We mustn't allow fear to rule over us. And that's in every part of our life. And it's very easy to allow fear to take over. And I know, speaking from experience, we have to let it go. And it's not easy. I'm not saying it is easy, it's not going to be easy. And it takes an awful lot of prayer and patience. Of course, the first cost of following Jesus is repentance. Repentance means to turn away from the things we know that God doesn't like us to do. Turning from behaviour that is wrong. Sometimes this is hard because we like doing some of the things, but we must let go and ask God for forgiveness. leave our past lives behind us. The cost may feel great, but the rewards are wonderful. What got John the Baptist into trouble was that he wasn't content to stay vague in general. He spoke out for what he believed. And he was specific with Herod too. For him, repentance meant leaving the woman he should not be with. Jesus is Lord of all our lives. He wants to take charge of every area. It is including our relationships, our family life. We could be put off the list, but as I said before, the rewards are great. Right, picture this. You let Jesus into your life. Now imagine he starts opening doors, which you start thinking, Then he goes into the rooms, moving things around, and you think, that's been there for 30 years, why are you moving it? I like it there. Tidying things up. Then he goes upstairs. And he puts his hand on one of the doors to the bedroom, which you know is in a bit of a mess. Or one of the cupboards, which you also know is in a bit of a mess. And instinctively you cry out, not that room, you can't go in there. But he can. He can. He is Lord and he will. So don't be afraid. Because he's only helping us to better follow him, to become more like him, to clean out the mess in our life. And of course another cost of following Jesus is rejection. This doesn't take much explaining, obviously. But it does need us to pause for a moment and name the fear that some of us feel. Especially when we first give our lives to Christ. Or sometimes people hesitate to run to Christ because of our fear. At the fear of being known as one of his followers. Because if we do, we risk being treated as he was. We read that Jesus tells us that this will happen. Some people don't like Jesus, so lots of toddlers lost their lives. And Jesus was crucified. John the Baptist was disliked and was beheaded. These are disastrous things to happen, and not likely to happen to us. But in some parts of the world, this is a real possibility. We could face ridicule from our friends and family, which can hurt. When I first became a Christian, my mum said to me, "You're going to end up in Wallery if you keep talking to a dead man." Now, Wallery, it was a psychiatric hospital in Brentwood. For those people who don't actually know, most people who run there do, but some people not know. Which was rather hurtful, because to me, he wasn't dead. But praise God, she did see in the end that being a Christian and following Jesus was better for me. Now it's her turn. Our turn. Will we be known as one of his disciples? Will we be identified with Jesus the crucified? Will we take the risk that he might be treated as he was treated? Or will we keep our distance? A distance from Jesus because of your fear of being rejected? This story about John the Baptist losing his head particularly put us off. But in fact, it's reason to run to Jesus instead. Run to him for his love, his grace. The only thing person who can give us these. We will face trials and upsets, and some people won't like us for our beliefs. But the love of Jesus is steadfast and true. Jesus can and does put people's lives back together. Now you'll know that when you give someone a present, you should never leave the prize label on. If it's cheap, you don't want them to think it's cheap, you didn't value them. But it's expensive. British modesty says that we should have no idea what you've just spent. But with Jesus, he left a price on. We know what it cost. And this is the story. Jesus came to bring us a new wealth order for his people. He came to die on that cross. And that wasn't cheap. That was a great cost. It cost John the Baptist his head to be one to announce it. It cost Jesus his life to purchase new life for us. It cost Jesus' followers, those who wrote down the Gospel, what we now call the New Testament. Many of them died as martyrs, rather than peacefully in their beds. Those who first told me the gospel paid a high price for their loyalty to Jesus the King. The kingdom Jesus came to bring is something very, very precious, and it came at a great cost to him. And the conclusion of this story is, this is a story, an invitation to all of us to follow Jesus. Yes, it will cost us. Jesus will call us to repent, and he may put his finger on areas of our lives that he would rather he didn't. Others may reject us, as they did Jesus and John before him. But look at John the Baptist. Through him, look at Jesus himself. We see someone who paid a high price to bring us the gift of the kingdom of God. We shouldn't reject it. The invitation to follow Jesus comes with love, God's love. No price you are asked to pay becomes too high. He holds his arms out and invites you to come. Because the real price has already been paid. And if we do accept Jesus, our Lord, and tell other people about him, his saving grace, and his love, then in time, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess him, King of glory now, and three guesses to what the final whim is going to be, at the name of Jesus. If you do want to know more about following Jesus, then please speak to one of the deacons.